I was in Jamaica, and I was working, doing carpenter work downstairs. And I began to pray and say, God, what are the brethren in the States doing? What are they doing with the word that was delivered? Because it would seem that some are saying that, hey, 1974, oh, don't we see the whole place blow to pieces? I can't brother this is, you know. And many are saying these things, and it came to me so strongly, so I put it to the Lord and asked him, what is the situation? I said, Lord, did I make a mistake? And he said, go upstairs. I went upstairs, and praise be to God, I relaxed on a chair, and I saw a man come right up with a golf club. Now, I know nothing about golf, right? And he made a stroke like this, and he brought the club right over his left shoulder. And as he did that, there was a voice crying out from the, you know, the stand or wherever. It said, this is the 19th hole. 19th hole. I didn't know whether he was right or wrong. So the man walked off. He didn't. He seemed to have finished this game. And so I called one of the guys that were working with me. There were two young men from Jacksonville that were with me. So I asked him, you know anything about golf? He said, yes. He said, does the word the 19th hole have any meaning? So he started to laugh. He said, well, golf only has 18 holes. And, you know, he said, well, he told me that the 19th hole is a phrase that the men have when they finish and they're going to celebrate the victory and they're going to have a drink. They call that the 19th hole. And that was the reply to the vision. And so I want to call this tape the 19th hole, because I want to show you the different things that have been happening and the different words we have been getting from God, showing that the thing is already done and the stage is already set. First of all, I want to give you here a word that Mavis received a week ago. She was praying. The Lord spoke to her and said these words. If I'm just correct now, I believe I have something wrong here. This is the time of the betrayal. The accuser dipped heavily in the ditch. Mark well what you hear, entertain, and pass on of your brethren. That's the next line. Does it glorify God or edify? That is it. That's the word. And that is, those are the direct words from God. We got them down exactly as they were delivered. Now, what is the meaning of all this? This is the time of the betrayal. Let's see if we can find it in our Bibles, if there was such a time. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. And in verse 7, he says, for nation, I'll wait on you till you find it. Matthew chapter 24, verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. But after that, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Amen. Here is the word showing us of people betraying one another. I see a note here, Luke 9 and 62. Somebody read that for me. Let me see. Luke 9.
Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back to the things behind is fit for the kingdom of God.
No, that's not a direct reference. But let us just deal on this thing a little bit and see what God is trying to say to us here. This is the time of the betrayal. It seems to me that the confusion among brethren is growing. And as it grows, brethren seem to get weaker and weaker, and seem to even deliver other people into the hands of those who would persecute them in order to spare themselves of torment. I mean, in the past few months, we have gone through more of this type of torment than in the past 4 years, that brethren just break down because of the pressures that are upon them and just throw you to the dog. And it would seem to me that God is speaking a special word to the people who are going to stand, that we should be careful of the betrayer. He said, this is the time of the betrayal. And it would seem to me that it is saying that we are in this time when there is a breaking down. I wanted to notice in, look with me to Second Thessalonians chapter 2. There is a time when there is going to be a breaking down of the church. That is, every Christian who is not standing in his right place is going to become a tool of the devil. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. This whole chapter deals with the falling away. And it says here, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. That means he was there already, but he was not revealed. The revelation of the man of sin, the son of perdition. Now, I wanted to notice the word very, very carefully, because he said that the man of sin was there already, he's going to show himself, and then he made a qualifying statement which says the son of perdition. Amen. Now, if you check that son of perdition in John chapter 17, Jesus speaking to the Father said, I have lost none except who? One who, the son of perdition. And now and then, through the scriptures, you see the son of perdition crop up. And what God is trying to show us is not that Judas is going to come back here. Did this refer to Judas? No, it refers to a Judas spirit. It refers to a Judas spirit that will take people and cause them to betray one another. You see, this spirit was very, very evident in the last war in Germany, when the children were taught to betray their parents. A child would go from Hitler's camp, go home to have a weekend with his parents, and hear the parents drop a word, you know, that wasn't favorable to Hitler, go right back and report it, and the parents were caught and killed, and he got a ban. Yes, as someone who had done something great. And this spirit is one that is let loose among not even businessmen. Now you take up your paper any day and read the Watergate situation with a different heart spirit. Look into the spirits that are working. You see, and it is a spirit that you have never seen so evident in high circles, men of, you know, substance, men who are supposed to be at the top of this country, you see. At least they must have had some, you know, good characteristics to have been chosen as leader in that position, and this has never happened before in the history of the United States. And the things that they are saying, every man for himself, every man is letting down the other man and trying to make a bargain for himself to save himself from prison. And blessed be to God, you know, there is never a wrong without some good thing. And somebody got to one of these men and preached Jesus Christ to him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He repented halfway during the case, asked for a prison term, got it, and bowed out. Isn't that something? But the spirit of betrayal is let loose, and it has no bounds. Families are going to betray their own flesh and blood. Yes, people are going to betray one another, but thank God, the sons of God won't betray anybody. Amen.
Yeah,
so, this is the point I wanted to show you here, that the system, the church, is getting worse and worse and worse, and out of it, that man of sin will be revealed, son of perdition. That means he was there already. Now, this is what you have to be careful about, because the son of perdition is not only the men who have got so high in the satanic realm that they are actually gained the title. They earn themselves a degree called the son of perdition. But you have to watch the son of perdition in you. The spirit of lawlessness, amen, is the spirit of the Antichrist. You watch the lawlessness out there. The first of all, the kids started wearing long hair because they were rebelling against the system, because everybody was cropping their hair short. Okay, the system decided to wear long hair now, so everybody's wearing long hair. So they try to do something else, and everything they do become a style. They can't get away from it. But lawlessness is the chief cause of what you see going on out here. Mm-hmm. The spirit of lawlessness goes along with the spirit of betrayal. And God is saying to you, brethren, look out. For this spirit is not only living in the world, but this spirit will take a foothold in you if he can get it. So, in coming out of Babylon, and in coming out of the things that defile out there, let us make sure that we don't have the same things in us. You know what? We will come and start moving in a body of Christ operation and start to try to turn it into Babylon, and it will turn out into confusion. Anytime you see the brethren can't get on together, it's because somebody wants Babylon back inside the midst. Praise be to God. our only deliverance at this time. You remember what the picture I showed you? For those who didn't come in, yes, I gave them a Bible library. You over here, you can see this side, you can see this side, and you can see this side. I can see three other sides that you can't see. They over there see three sides that you are not seeing. They see one of your side and one of my side. And these here see, and so all of us are seeing the whole Bible. All of us together, we are seeing the whole Bible. But there is no one person here who can see the whole of this Bible one time, no matter who you are. And this is what God is doing for us now, that as He brings forth the fullness in the body, the only way we are going to dwell in the fullness is to dwell in the body. Mm-hmm. Praise God. The only way we are going to dwell in this fullness is to dwell in the body. That means that our vision can be perfect. But our vision can only be perfect when we are hearing from the other brother what he's seeing. Because we, this side, can't see what you're seeing that side. And those down here can't see what I'm seeing up here. But you can see it if I tell you what's going on up here and you tell me what's going on. So see, God is not creating any more big boss over His church, but He has a fivefold ministry, and the heart of the pastor has been denied in the body for a long time. The pastor is the one that must feed the flock. Seek pasture. You hear the name pasture? The pastor. It sounds like pasture. Well, the pastor's job is to find pasture. Find food for the flock. And he gets a whole cow and he cuts off a piece and gives somebody milk who wanted milk. You know the pastor produces the milk. And he gives the other one meat. This one needs a steak and this one needs fruit and the other one needs so on. So, and he cuts up that whole cow and gives each person what he needs. And this is the pastor's duty. When a message comes, you take that message and you carve it up and you serve it to those who need. So praise be to God. This great point here, the son of perdition is not only a person, but he is a spirit. The son of perdition is not only a person, but he is a spirit. Now, we go back to the next phrase in this thing. We have some direct words from the Lord here, which we are looking at. The accuser dipped heavily in the dish. Now, let's see where we can find that. Let's see where we can find that. The accuser dipped heavily in the dish. Somebody find it in Matthew, and one find it in Luke, and let me find it in John. Oh, thank you. We are looking for when Judas dipped with Jesus in the dish. And I'm looking here at John chapter 13.
Matthew 26:23.
Read that for me, please.
And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall be cleansed.
Amen. He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. Did you find it in Luke? Say that again, Matthew what?
Matthew 26:23.
Luke 22:29. Praise God. That's what you said? 22?
22.
Yeah, 22. Read that for me, please.
But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth him is written on the table.
Yes. 22, 21. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Then, all right. We look at John 13. Yes. 18. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it came, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. I want you to see this verse here. One special verse here. And verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garment. Now that's not it. I want to read the part where Satan entered into him.
Verse 27.
Verse 27.
Right.
And after the supper, well, we read 26 then. Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sup when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sup, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sup, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that what thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sup, went immediately out, and it was night.
Mm-hmm.
Now isn't that peculiar, that the Bible should say, and it was night. We all knew it was night. It was a supper they were on. But this phrase has a specific meaning. Now, night in the soul, the Revelation chapter 6, with the black horse, the darkness coming on the earth, the children of the supper, out in the darkness, the five foolish virgins, all this all ties up with this one phrase, and it was not. Now I'm going to tell you the reason why Jesus gave him the sup, and the reason why when he took the sup, the devil entered into him. The devil could not enter into him until he had committed that last final act against the body of Christ. Praise God, I need to get tired. He had to commit that last final act against the body of Christ in order that the devil should enter into him. Now I want you to turn your Bibles with me then to round the 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we come along from verse 13 that we might get the full context of what Paul was saying here. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, because of this, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Amen. And Paul was not talking about somebody having a little statue in a corner and bowing down to it. But anything you worship, anything you put too much emphasis, value, or the other word is just escaping me. But anything you put too much value on, too much emphasis on, that thing is being worshipped by you. And that thing will be able to take you away out of God. Or that person. And this is what he was talking about. He said, idolatry. Flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless. For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. What he was actually saying is that the bread that we break at communion is a symbol of ourselves, breaking of ourselves, giving each other. That you are the body of Christ, and you are the bread. Jesus said, my body broken for you. That this is my body broken for you. You know, one of the great revelations that Jesus had to get from God was the revelation of Christ. That Jesus, if God had not revealed Christ to Jesus, Jesus would have thought that he, Jesus, was the only Christ. He would not know that there was a body coming behind him. And this is the reason he prayed in the garden, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. For his will was to stop the devil that day. The will of the Christ is to stop the devil right now. And therefore, he had to hold back his will and let the devil beat him until you come, so that you might rise up and stop the devil. So this is what we are dealing with, the body of Christ. So the sin that you that commit was what? Against the body of Christ, for it took the Son. When you take the bread, you are saying, I am taking this from you as a part of you. I am a part of you. We are all one in Christ. And suppose I have my knife in his back at the same time. Don't you see, it's not the brother that I would be hurting, it's Jesus Christ himself. So this bread is a symbol of the body of Christ. Amen. And when we are acting contrary to the body of Christ, contrary to body ministry, contrary to body life, and still feeding off the life from the body, it's terribly bad. And this is what makes some people get the spirit of the devil and the spirit of the Antichrist to do their thing, as you see what's going on. See, body ministry is definitely you ministering to me and I ministering to you. Surely God has put leaders in the body. And God tells you plainly, there is pastor, there is evangelist, there is so and so and there is so and so. And all the other ministries are behind these five ministries. Because let me tell you, if I didn't have a string running up into my finger, causing my finger to go like this, then my finger would be totally dead. I have to have it connected with the whole body, and when one member moves, the whole body moves. So the ministry that we were used to in the past is that the pastor, he runs the church and he's really the boss. Amen. Now the ministry we are inviting you into is that the Holy Ghost runs the church. So therefore, if the pastor said so and so, and the Holy Ghost is not saying it, he has four or five people to catch him up and say, brother, God showed me something. And therefore no one is going to step over all the others and say, well, I do it as I like. As I've been saying to you before, some came in here, this is Brother Smith's house. So suppose Brother Smith say, well, it's my house, I invite anybody I want. And somebody say, he said, I'm going to invite Brother Dizzle to come down here and to have for me. And the rest of the elders are out there, and he sent off and invite Brother Dizzle. That would be disorder. I don't care what you say, and I don't care what anybody could argue. You cannot do that. You can invite anybody to your house since God is not leaving you. But you can't invite a body meeting when the elders are there and you don't say anything. Then you've got to call them together. But suppose there are no elders, suppose the whole thing is split up. Well, that's where our problem. We have to recognize one another. We have to realize that we cannot see the whole deal all alone. We have got to work together. So praise be to God. This point here shows you why Judas got the stuff, and when he took the stuff, why he got the devil. Now you ask me, if then the body is, we are the body, what is the blood? Amen. Says, take this is my body. And he said, this is my blood. Somebody is sick, and you come and you lay hands on the person, and something happens, but the person is healed. Where did the energy and the life come from? Surely not the person who was healed. But it had to come from Christ through you somehow, because you were the instrument which was used. Well, that's the blood. You gave him life. And the blood is the life of Jesus Christ, which you handle every day. So the blood, when we take the wine and drink, it's good for us to have communion together. Yes. Especially if we are one. Because it's really going to bring us closer into the relationship. What are you to me? What am I to do? The same life that is surging through my spiritual being is surging through you. The same life. It's not another life. It's not like a Christ over there can say, boy, get going. And the other Christ over there says, don't go. It's nothing like that. Mm-hmm. Look how these two sisters had the same vision. Did they plan it? Don't you see what I'm saying? It means that God is in our midst. Yeah. And it means not only that, but that God is in us. And the same God I have in me is the same God you have in you. And because of this fact, you are going to operate just as I'm operating. And brother, if one makes a mistake, you can easily pick him. Because he didn't intend it. Nobody wants to be wrong. And this is the spirit that God has put in the body of Christ. So, we are talking about this 94. We're just trying to assess where we are in the game. Praise be to God. Because if it is the 90th hole, it means that we're just having an intermission. Amen. Before something else begins. So, and that game already is over and settled. God has already settled the situation. So praise be to God. Let's read the rest of this thing. We read the first two. This is the time of the betrayal. The accuser dipped heavily in the dish. Mark well what you hear, entertain, pass on, off your breath. Praise God. I have seen brethren receive a word against some other brother. They judge him, they sentence him, and they just... We had a very amusing situation just recently. We went to a certain place, you know, and we ministered there. And it was in a brother's home, a brother who we knew quite well, and he brought some of his friends there to listen. And they were really excited, for they had never heard anything like that before, and they were under a certain ministry who was supposed to be the body of Christ. And somehow the news went back to the ministry. And you know what they did? They just asked them not to come back. They didn't call them, didn't talk to them, didn't say what's happening, where are you, nothing of the kind. Just don't come back. You know, we don't want that disease in here anymore. Praise be to God. There was a sister who was functioning in a church, you know, as a Sunday school teacher and whatnot. She was right up there, and she came one night and received the Holy Ghost. And the pastor announced on Sunday before the whole congregation that that sister is a disease. Of course, he was one of the smart ones. He got her out just like that. If she is a disease, nobody must talk with her, nobody must get near to her, because you'll catch the disease. She is a disease, and she's talking in tongues. So let's get to you. I'm asking you kindly not to come back. Amen. That did get her. Oh, what it did there, so. Because she had loved those brethren. So here we are, facing up to this situation. As God showed us, he said, mark well what you hear and entertain, and pass on of your brethren. What were the other words? Does it glorify God or edify? Now, can you remember that scripture which says, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, if there be any... Somebody find it and read it for me. Think on these two.
2 Kings 4:8.
Yes. Let's hear it.
Find me, brethren, whatsoever the things are true, whatsoever the things are honest, whatsoever the things are just, whatsoever the things are pure, whatsoever the things are lovely, whatsoever the things are of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things.
Amen. Think on these things. And praise be to God. I am glad for the word of God. If there be any, let's go over it very slowly.
True.
Praise God. There are some things that are true and they are not true.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You get that one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There are some things that are true, but they are not true. And you must not repeat that. Amen. It is true that so-and-so cursed us. Don't repeat it. Amen. You know. And so some bad truths are hanging around. And people said it is true, therefore I must say, no, sir. Because I am the truth that belongs. So unless that's what that word meant, if there's anything that is Jesus Christ, then think about that. What else? Honest. Yes. The next one? Just. You know what just means, of course. Talking about justified, it means you are just as if you had never sinned. So, if a thing is just, it is sinless, it is pure, it is whole. Yes? Pure, right? Lovely. I don't believe in repeating things that are ugly. I believe we should repeat things that are lovely, that are pretty, yes. Of good report. And there are some very bad reports that people do repeat. Praise the Lord. And God said, if there's any good report, any praise the Lord, any hallelujah, any glory, let's hear about it. Virtue and praise. I want to show you something in John. Turn your Bible with me to John chapter 17. And I'm going to give you an idea when God said glorify. We can glorify God. How can we glorify God? You know, little people as we are, how can we glorify God? We can glorify God by just allowing God to show himself through us. And that is the way we glorify God. What did I say a while ago? What's John?
17.
John 17. Now, I want you to look in the fourth verse. Jesus said to the Father, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Jesus was saying that he glorified God. Well, let's see what he did to glorify. Turn around to chapter 14. Chapter 14 and Thomas, verse 5. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Father is spirit. And yes, Jesus was saying, if you know me, you have seen the Father. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The word that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that sent me, that dwelleth in me. He doeth the work. Now, I want you to notice how he glorified God. He glorified God by speaking God's word, and by doing God's work.
Mm-hmm.
No, all right, let's take that from Jesus and put it on you. Come on now. Could you say, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father? My goodness. You're not getting afraid now. If you hear me, you hear the Father. Don't you see? You see the distance now. So this is where we are going. Because turn back around to chapter 17 and hear what Jesus did to us. Jesus praying to the Father. And remember, he just told the Father that I have glorified thee on earth and so on. And verse 5, and now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Can you imagine it? I mean, it's kind of hard. I don't know how I could ever imagine what glory he had, except to know that he was exactly God and like God. And then look across the page and see what he said there now. In 22nd verse. In my Bible, it is just across from the 5th verse. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So, what is humbugging us is that we're not really having the glory. For if we had the glory, we would be one automatically.
Amen.
You are saying one thing, and here's another brother just saying the same thing. His brother Lenny said he went away over into Puerto Rico. And I believe what excited me most is that the guy was saying some of the things that we were saying here. It surely does excite a person. Praise be to God. It does excite a person. Because I read a story of some missionaries passing through Africa, and God told them to take a roundabout trip. They didn't want to take this because who would want to go away around a circle when you could go right across? But the Lord said it, and they surely said it, so they decided to go. and they were in this great wilderness country, coming through the same tall grass, and there the jeep shut down. They couldn't understand that this man is an expert. He pulled that machine down to the ground, put it back up piece by piece, and it won't stop. And they said, well, something must be wrong. Then through the tall grass, right, a man who has the markings of a headhunter. And he came smiling up to them. And he explained himself. What did he come for? He met a man in the spirit, and the man told him that he is God, and that they should worship him. And so they were worshiping this God. And they never heard of this unknown God before, but this God brought a miracle in their midst, in that the sick were healed. They had an epidemic, and the sick were healed, and this man asked them to be done. This same spirit told them that he should come to that crossroad that day, that he would meet some people there who would tell him more about this thing. Praise God. Amen. That jeep started immediately. And they went on with him. And Jesus was revealed to these people. So you can understand, we are one if we are in the Lord. And I, as some people say, it is hard to be in the Lord. I don't believe it is. I believe it is very easy to be in the Lord. Just get out of yourself and don't do anything that yourself is telling you, and you will do everything that the Lord wants you to do. Praise be to God. But this excitement, he said that God should give him the glory that they had from the beginning of the world. And he said that he is giving us this glory, and when he gives us this glory is going to make us one. Praise God. And this oneness that we are going to be made, let's read that for you now, because that is another thing that that I can't just understand. This oneness is peculiar. He said, I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and that love them as thou hast loved me. Can you understand? He in us, first of all, we are the outside. If you notice, he turned the whole thing up inside up. Instead of saying we in God, it says God in us. So God is in us, the Holy Spirit. Christ in God, in the Holy Spirit. Then God the Father in Christ. And everything is expanding. And then it bursts out of us. And the whole Godhead comes out of you. This is a situation that is happening. It's not just something that is a theory. It is happening in our daily lives, because God is coming through, no matter how small. He is coming through, and the people of the world are seeing Christ in us. Praise be to God. I in them. Now praise God. So we got that point. Let's go back to where we came from. We came from this word. Mark well what you, the last phrase was, does it glorify God or edify? Because anything that you do that glorifies God, it edifies you. Yeah. It blesses you when it glorifies God. Now, let's go back on the thought of the you must forgive me. Praise God. Amen. So, we go back to the point that we were talking about the 19 poles. We are at this point now of time, as I see, we're in the church is about ready. The church system is about ready to manifest the beast, and we are about ready to manifest the thing that God has been speaking about, this glory of God. Let me show you something here. I might have shown you this many times over and over, but I'm going to have a little blackboard stand here. Praise the Lord. This here is a seven days of time. Good. The 7 days of time that we have been thinking about. Now, write it for me, son. 1, 2, 3, 4, 7. Praise God. Now we have from 1 to 7 there. And we find that each of these in the creation, represented a day in the recreation. The creation, some people contend that the creation was a 1,000-year day. But whether it was or not, that would make one bit of difference to us. Mm-hmm. Whether God took 1,000 years to make Adam, or it took 1 year, or 1 day, or 1 moment, it wouldn't make any difference. But what we do know is in the recreation that each of these represents a day, a 1,000 years. Follow me? So we are dealing with 7,000 years. Now let's begin to deal from the fifth. From the fourth, in this little space here that you see me shade off here, God said the evening and the morning was the day. So then the fourth, at the end of the fourth day, Jesus came. I'm not practicing writing upside down. You write Jesus. You see, Jesus came at the end of the fourth day. And the strangest thing about the thing is that, okay, they know what you mean, brother. Now, that at this day was the day on which God created light, put light here. Good. Now, this day, the fifth day, was the day that Jesus, that God created life completely. Life. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Light, then life. Now, this day, God created two things. And one was man. At beast first, and the other one was man. Mm-hmm. And he created rest this day. On the seventh day, he created rest. Now, good. All right. Now, we find here with this kind of progression that we understand what God is doing. Because Jesus the light came in the evening. And he himself told us that this was the translation of this. Because it said, in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, great light has come. And he referred to prophecy by Isaiah, remember, that this prophecy by Isaiah said that there will be great light in this land. And so when he came into the coast of Zebulun and Naphtali, he said, here it is, the scripture is fulfilled, the light is come. And if you look at John chapter 1, Verse what now? Hold it. John 1, verse 9. Somebody read 9 for me.
That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh
into the world. Quite. You see, so definitely, brother, John understood this scripture, for he said, that is the light. Jesus Christ is the light. So light came on the evening of the fourth day. Now you ask the question, why do you say it is the evening of the fourth day that Jesus came? Because Jesus was on earth 30 years in the law, during the time of the law. That was the evening of that age of the law. And he was only here for 3.5 years in the 50,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me chalk it up. These three here, these 3,000 years, they are represent Jesus's 3 days. So God's 5,000 is Jesus's 1,000. God's 6th day is Jesus's 2nd day. God's 7th day is Jesus's 3rd day. So when they speak of a 3rd day resurrection, when would that resurrection occur? In the morning of the 7th day. You follow me? So here we are now facing this situation. We are facing the resurrection, and the resurrection has already begun within us, because Christ is your resurrection.
Amen.
In other words, God showed me that the way is wide open, the only hindrance is he that letteth ye ourselves are holy man. Because we are the Christ in us. If we give way to it, he's going to push us right into that foot. You see, God has a time plan. And God's time plan is at hand. So we should be in a position now to move right into this. And this is the reason we are having so much natural, personal distresses. Our personal distresses are preparing us for a spiritual revival that the world had never even heard about.
Amen.
I'm going to show you that revival in your Bible. You see, something that has never happened yet on earth, and it will happen in our time. You see, here we are, the beast is being formed right in our eyes. You hear me? You have never seen this. You never heard about it, that the United States could condescend and bow down to the other nations of the world as we are doing now, and mm-hmm. earnestly desire to become one with them, and our ambassadors are running to and fro through the earth, getting countries to join to be together, using every trick in the book and out of the book to get these people to be on our side. That Arab situation, that Jewish situation, don't just take your eyes off it and say it's carnal man's situation. Listen, the Jews have always been God's example people, God's blackboard. He has used them, and everything that happens to the Jews happens to the church. You tell me anything that happened to the Jews. God took a man like Samson, and he showed you the life of the church right down to the last moment, when the church shall move with power and destroy the enemy, and in our own physical death. Yes, because our carnality will finish too. Samson's carnality finished the moment he finished the Philistines. You see? And this is all the life of David, the life of Solomon, the life of Abraham, the life of Isaac, the life of Jacob, coming right down the line. God used Jews to tell you about your life in Christ. And I see today that the Jews playing in their carnal way down there, what they are actually doing is that the spirits which get the power to do things in Israel are upon Israel of God. They are doing it upon the natural Israel. And they are practicing upon the natural Israel to accomplish what they believe they want to accomplish, and then they will turn to the spiritual Israel. Actually, God called me and he said, Jerusalem is compassed with armies. That's last year when I was here. And I asked him, what do you mean? He wasn't talking about that Jerusalem down there at all. He was talking about this Jerusalem. Because the same thing that's happening in the natural is happening in the spirit. Amen. And so we talk about the betrayal. You never seen a greater letdown than what those Jews are going to get down here. Now that's a shame, but this is, I don't want to say too much about that, but this is it. The betrayer is dipping heavily in the dish, and this does not only mean the spiritual is betrayed, but the spirit of betrayal is gone out. And he is betraying those natural Jews down there as he will be betraying these spiritual Jews up here. See? So, here we are, that the beast is operating in the world today. And one of the chief signs of this beast is the spirit of peace that you see going around. Brother, put this down, rest your hand a little. Let me show them a scripture here. The spirit of peace you see here, men are, turn to Daniel, men are having peace. A person having peace, and he is building more armaments than he ever built before for the peace. The destructive weaponry in the arsenals of man today are what Jesus spoke about in Matthew 24. There's men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after what is coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. This is what we see happening here. Men, for the first time in the history of the world, men are in a position to destroy the world. Another thing, the first time from God spoke to Moses and to Joshua and to Abraham and to Isaac, saying, I'll give you this land. He said, every piece of this land that the sole of your feet tread upon, it shall be yours. Mm-hmm. The first time that piece of land belonged to the Israelites, to the Jews. Did you ever notice that? Do you know what that says to you? It's your Bible being written out there, brethren. The time, God says, to find the time. How do you find the time? Give me a scripture now where he said you should watch the Jews. Yes! He said, look on the fig tree. When you see it put forth its branches, know that summer is at hand. And we are not foolish people. God has given us spirit wisdom. Amen. And when we look at the fig tree, we see what's happening to Israel. Israel has taken the land from the Arabs without Israel's deliberate participation. It was the Arabs that attacked them, and Israel took away a piece of our land. They attacked them again, they took away another piece. So 1974, they attacked them and they took away the rest of it. And now the whole land, you go read it again, from the Great Sea to the river of Jordan, and from the Egyptian border up back to Lebanon. That's the piece of land that God gave to the Israelites, because that's the land of the seven ites. Remember that? The Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Moabites. Seven ites, you know what that means? That means that you had 7 areas of demon oppression in your soul system, in our world, where devils rule over us for 7 areas of our being, and now is the time God has given us the power to take it over. You better believe it when you go and lie down to pray. Don't start setting off all the foolishness that we used to talk in the past. Let us just command every devil out of our system. Reject him. We don't want him. You do that on your bed and see what happens. Reject the devil and his works and claim Jesus Christ as King and say, Jesus, you are Lord. I want you to come in and take charge of this kingdom. It is yours. Blessed be the God. You see what happened in your life. Yes. We look at Daniel chapter 8. And there is some precious word here describing the type of thing that is going on the international scene, even tonight. Verse 24. Well, we better read 23 so that we get the context, that you can see that I'm not just talking about something that happened some time ago. Verse 23, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, 66, that's what we're talking about. A king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, and he shall destroy wonderfully, meaning to say it's the devil that is given him his power. It shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through, that means it's going to attack Christians. And through the policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. You notice the qualification? Peace is his weapon. He's going to use peace as a weapon and destroy a lot of people with peace. You watch that peace down in the Middle East. That's no peace at all. Can you imagine you go and offer people peace? I offer you peace. I offer you peace. I offer you peace. And I offer you peace and stop you all from fighting. And then I say, I'll give you the atom bomb. You know, and I'll go promise you atom fuel and all kinds of weaponry. This is what I'm showing you, that they are setting the stage for a big blast. That's what I do. Now, since we are in Daniel, I want to show you the great revival I mentioned to you. Turn to Daniel 12. Amen. Daniel 12. And this is the greatest revival that shall ever be, and it is the last revival. There is several places else in the scripture I could find it, but I'll just show you this one. It's so concise and beautiful. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people that you are praying for, Brother Daniel, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Can you imagine what he says? This says that every human being who should be saved or could be saved will be saved at this time. At a certain time, one time, we're going to get all the human beings on earth saved who can be saved.
Hallelujah.
My God, don't you see, brethren, this is the reason why you need to be strengthening yourself to take in the harvest. You are the reapers that God is preparing to take in the harvest. Amen. People are going to be running down on you and asking you to help them to get saved. Yes. God is going to allow them to be frightened, and I tell you, they will be frightened. I've been telling the story about my sister-in-law who couldn't get the Holy Ghost, and a storm blew, and she saw that door torn off the hinges and coming towards her, and she's walking down. Yes, sir, she did. I'm telling you, God is preparing to throw a lot of frightening things down here.
Amen.
And as a matter of fact, he's going to allow us to frighten ourselves.
Amen.
And I could be wrong in this. This is calculation. I don't say the Lord tell me about that. But I, from what I've calculated, it seems to me that about 2 billion people, that's 2,000 million people will be killed in the destruction. Because in one part it says a burning mountain was cast into the sea. And that means among the nations and the people. Amen. And I know it's three times that it's mentioned. Three times. And it would seem to me that in all about 1 billion people will be destroyed. Praise God. And yet it could mean that it is the three wars, you understand. But God could reveal it. But this is what is going to happen. And I tell you, I heard very disturbing things recently, that when Kissinger was over there trying to get peace, struggling for peace, that the Russian army was poised to hit Israel. And that's why he was determined that he wasn't coming home unless he got there. And that's why America paid such a heavy price, which you don't know yet, what they offered those people to get them from somewhere. But that we would have gone into war before you knew it. Because the Russians were going to attack, and the Americans were determined that they were going to strike Russia immediately. They weren't going to wait. And they didn't see any use in waiting. And there was no use in waiting either. The longer you wait, it would be the more dangerous. And so this is the situation which still exists down there. And the powder keg is still down there. And I want the Christians to get nearer to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is going to be guiding his sheep like a shepherd. And leading us into the paths of righteousness that we need to go into. Now, therefore, this is my reason for believing that we are, I still believe what I believed last year when I believe what I believe. Very much. Yes, I still believe it, because every time I pray to God show me that the things are happening, and that a lot of things that you don't know are happening. And then when you look back, you say, my, had I known, I would have known that it had happened. But the things are happening, and the enemy is working secretly. And I see God as not allowing him to come forth with the fullness of his power until his people are absolutely ready. Brethren, there's no preparation you can make in the flesh. You hear me, man. Store as much food as you want. You see, you know what's going to happen to it. As people start needing food, they'll just come for you. You look like you've been eating a good meal and so on. They'll get you in. Praise God. If there's any storing of food, brethren, it is because by. That's how I see storing food. Outside of that, anything like you going to have food eating while other people are dying of hunger, you just forget that. You better look to Jesus Christ and just depend on the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. See, the natural men, they are warning the government. Because the whole country is really in a precarious situation. If your crops fail, if anything should happen that there's a widespread failure of crops, hunger would just stop this land. With all the money you have, you couldn't get food. There are no reserves, there are no nothing. And the natural man is telling the government, store food now, get back to your storage. Whether it be too late or not, Jesus Christ is holding the reins. Your father, your daddy has the whole thing in his hand.
Amen.
You don't have to worry about food. You don't have to worry about whether your food is poisoned or not. God said if you eat any deadly thing, it will not hurt you.
Amen.
Eat and praise God for what you have.
Amen.
Amen. And when you don't have anything to eat, praise God also. Bless the Lord. And so, I tell you what, we could just open the meeting to questions, and then we just talk freely. Amen. Because I can talk all night. Praise God. But as it is here, I see the thing that you should hold on to your faith. Don't let any man take away your crown. Because I have seen some things since going to California that it's just worse than anything you could ever conceive. People are just going wild. All the people you depend on to be steady in the Word of God, they are just flying off the handle, and the Bible is just still the same. I tell you one more dream, and then I sit down. I had a dream a few nights ago that I looked up and the stars were falling from the heaven. But they weren't falling onto the earth as you thought they would, but they were hitting one another. And as they hit one another, they would come and hit another and hit, and they were all burning up anyhow. But it was a complete chaos. They were just crisscrossing the sky, hitting one another. But one was hit, and it came diving down in a great blaze of light to the earth. And it fell, and when it fell, there was a great flash of light, and we could feel the jar that somewhere was hit. Then we heard the news saying that Bog Walk, a city in Jamaica named Bog Walk, is completely destroyed. And the Lord reminded me of the word about wormwood that would fall upon the waters and that would spoil the waters. I believe we are going to see this thing happen very soon, that some great person of God is going to break off from God and begin to give people some weird doctrine. Let me just explain one thing to you. God gave me a word, which we have a tape called The Breakthrough. And by the way, most of the tapes haven't even had hands to put them together and send you a list, much more to send you the tapes. I need some help. And praise God. I have to get back and see. So, this tape, The Breakthrough, God was showing me how that you do not really feel with your body, your flesh, your natural, but it is really in your mind and in your soul that you feel, your emotions that feel. And he demonstrated it to me by my soldering a pipe, put down the soldering iron, thinking about the Lord, and then I smell some flesh burning. Then I look, the whole of my finger burnt off, and I just said, God, I know why you're doing this to me. You want to prove to me that if I don't want to feel it, I don't feel it. I said, I don't want to feel it. And I pat upon it. I lifted it up to God, and I never felt one thing. My finger was parched, brown, parched, and completely burned up. And by evening, I rushed into Mavis to show her, and there was no burn. I went to show her, and there was only a slight discoloration, and the burn was gone, and by the next day, I couldn't show anybody. It was completely gone. And I found out that God was teaching me what. Okay, no sooner than I got that message and began to go into it, I realized that there were some people going into a mind power message. I don't know if any of you have read the latent power of the soul, thy watchman me. This is the very thing he was showing, that there is a certain soul power that people do use in the devil's way. Because anything you do by self, anything you have to learn to concentrate, anything you have to learn to do by your own effort is not God. So you just don't need to go any further and think that's not God. That soul power thing, that transcendental meditation is of the devil. That is an old time trick that these people have been doing, and they get new names for it now. I'm telling you about vibrations and this and that and the other, and it is all of the devil. Yet there is a truth there that God would like you to see, that God wants you to submit your mind to the Spirit. Get the Spirit over your mind. You know, when you pray, Lord, spread, that's exactly what you're asking God to do. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, that is in my soul nature and in my physical nature, as it is in heaven, which is my spiritual nature. You see, because the heavens have already come down to you, and the heaven, God is in your spirit. God lives there, he's there permanently. You know, before God leave that spirit to go to hell, God will cut between your soul and your spirit and take away the soul to hell and take the spirit back to heaven. Yes, God has come to stay in your spirit. You see, so God is inhabiting your spirit. So your spirit is heaven, the place where God lives. Now, if you can just get in the spirit, then you are in heaven. So if you can put your soul in the spirit, that is your mind. If your mind can be in the spirit, if your emotions can be in the spirit, if your will can be in the spirit, and your desires in the spirit, then you are in the spirit. Follow me? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And so you could just keep that, and then the scripture tell you how to do it. If anything be good, if anything be true, if anything bring glory to God, think on these things. That's the thing you must meditate on. You go and you lie down, meditate, and it says, I am a son of God. I am a son of God. Amen. Now what does that mean? That means God is my Father. Now, if God is my Father, and God owns the whole universe, then I own the whole universe. And you can go from point to point, just like that, and live. Oh. God is your Father, you are his Son, and you go on. These are the things we must think about. These are the things we must meditate about. Spend time with God thinking about these things. God said, ye are the light of the world. I am the light of the world. I don't care what you're showing. You are the light of the world. When my shade is all messed up and dark and black, I couldn't say this is not a light. The shade is dirty, but the light is still the same light. You are the light of the world. Just clean your dirty shade. That's all you need to do. No, I'm not saying your shades are dirty, but I mean, if you think you're not showing the light. So when you go to clean your shade, you just go and sit down with God and say, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world, and I went to work today, and man, it was rough. I was dark. So my shade is dirty. God, just clean the shade and let me go back and be the light of me. Because God is depending on you to shine forth God. And you know, you go on with things like that. One that blessed us very greatly the other day, Jesus said, I come to do thy will, O God. And then the Lord turned around and asked me, what you come for? You know, Jesus said, he knew what he came here for. I come to do thy will, O God. And I shout, I said, I come to do thy will, O God. And that was true. And I want you to realize this is why you were birthed. This is why you are here. This is why you were birthed in the spirit. This is why you're a child of God. To do God's will. I don't care what you're doing. You keep saying, I came here, God, to do your will. And as you keep asserting that, then it will get through into your soul nature. Because when it does, then it becomes reality. So it's not, as I told them before, it's not transcendental meditation. It is just meditation. Just meditate with Jesus Christ and think on the things that are good. One more thought, and then I close. The devil is on a frequency that he cannot pick you up if you are in the spirit. He cannot read your mind if you are in the spirit. But if you are concentrating in the flesh, he's going to read you. If you have a carnal intention, you're in the flesh. And nothing in the flesh, God say, can please God. In other words, you cannot plan to do some concentration and some meditation and try to develop your mind power to please God. That's nonsense. Anytime your mind power develops, the part that develops is the part that's going to turn on to the devil. You better believe it. No devil can read your mind. He'll be here confused trying to figure you out. If you're in the spirit, he's there confused trying to figure you out. Yes, sir. Anytime you are in contact with heaven, God bless you. Amen. I want us to discuss whatever questions now you'd like to ask. Great. Hallelujah.
A place for darkness in the light that shall shine from within thee. Therefore walk circumspectly before thy God, for yea, those who are willing and obedient shall eat of the fat of the land, but those that are disobedient shall be destroyed, shall be overcome by the darkness that cometh upon the earth, that even now worketh in the children of disobedience. Mark thou therefore thy way before thy God, walk thou humbly, keep thy path straight, look not to the right nor to the left. Remove thy foot from every evil work and every evil thought and every evil thing that would turn thee away from the true and living way, the way of peace, the way of righteousness which is in thy God. Watch ye therefore, for yea, the deceiver is at hand. Yea, the deceiver cometh with all lying wonders and deceivableness, but yea, thy God shall arise within thee as the morning star doth arise, and surely the darkness shall flee before him. Watch ye therefore, and be not deceived, for yea, thy God shall not allow them that are obedient to be deceived.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Below the clouds,
but like an eagle, you fly on through above the storm. This is life for you, and I'm an eagle. Me.